Hello, everybody, and welcome to Happy Horror Time. I'm your host, Tim Murdoch. We're on our second virtual podcast, and my good friend here, smart, outgoing, but can't go anywhere, Matt Amert.
Clever. I like that. Good opening.
Thanks,
hey, Tim.
Thanks. I'm an Oscar winner.
It's true. It's true. How's it going?
It's going great.
How's the pandemic treating you?
The pandemic is treating me good. I live with a sassy flight attendant roommate, and he can't go anywhere.
The best person to be stuck with for 6 months, huh?
Yeah, people that like to travel all the time, and then they can't.
Yeah, most people that wanted to travel this year had to kind of throw their travel plans in the garbage.
That's right.
Do you think every vacation was canceled? Not every vacation.
I mean, you can still fly.
Well, Americans can't go to other countries, like, because they realize that our country is a disaster.
But you can go to, like, Texas.
Definitely. I mean, there's nothing like a good old tropical vacation to Texas.
Or you can go to Tennessee.
On my bucket list. I've actually been to Tennessee. That's where Dollywood is. I went to Dollywood.
Dollywood's closed.
Well, oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I hope it doesn't close.
I feel like Dolly has enough money to keep that shit open, you know?
Uh-huh.
She has enough money. But speaking of closing, a lot of stuff isn't going to recover from this.
Gym bar.
I know. I'm thinking, okay, gym bar. Base camp. That was Tim R.I.P. and my workout place. It's so funny that we're never going to go to that again.
We didn't even get to say goodbye to it, really. And I really... Oh, let's give a shout out to our friend, Jameson Dugan. Is that his name?
You mean if he's listening? Mm-hmm. I hope. Yeah. He's one of our at least 4 to 5 listeners.
No. Yes. And he was a base camper.
I wonder what he's doing without base camp. Probably suffering like the rest of us and just gaining weight and getting out of shape.
Well, I read a fun fact.
You've gained weight and gotten out of shape? Because I sure have.
No, I'm in perfect shape. I look great all the time. No, the fun fact is the average American has gained 16 pounds in the last 4 months.
16? I have definitely gained probably like, not that much, but I've gained weight. And I'm now trying to do Peloton online workouts. The first month is free. So you can do Peloton, sign up for the first month, and they have these like virtual workouts. And some of them are cardio and HIIT classes. But I don't have weights and I have to do like body weight. It's not base camp. I do miss base camp.
I do too.
It was fun.
Well, they say to make weights, you could fill up old milk things with water, and it's like
milk cartons. Do you get milk cartons?
You know, you like old
you know the milk jugs that they delivered in the 50s.
Yes,
you know
when the milkman comes up, I get excited because you know people I don't see them often.
I bet you do. Do you think did Jameson listen to the podcast?
Yeah, he said he listened to it.
Oh, okay. Well, then we have Jameson, we have Spook Boo or whatever, who had made that comment of my favorite. Where'd you guys go? Look, listen, Spook Boo, just because we only average 2 podcasts per year does not mean we're inconsistent.
I mean, listen, we're so inconsistent, and I will continue to... I don't even know if that fact about 16 pounds is true, but you know what? Continue listening.
Wait. This is our second virtual one. We did one this year, so I think this will be the third this year,
yeah,
which that must be a record.
I know. We're on it.
We are on top of it. Look, by 2050, we'll hit our 100th episode.
You think so?
By 2050? Actually, that'd be generous, right?
Yeah. 2 to 3 years. I'm so busy. So busy.
So busy. But not too busy to watch a couple new movies. So
that's right.
We were talking about how on the last time, how all like major movies have been pushed. You know, like sadly and selfishly for me, I was very upset when Halloween Kills was pushed
off
a year.
Starring Kyle Richards.
No one else, just Kyle Richards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but at the same time, it'll be nice to see it in a real theater that's packed, you know, in a year and a half. But there have been some cool movies that have been released on demand and some not so cool movies.
Yeah, I think today's episode will be 2 movies that are definitely a love and a hate.
Oh, I have a feeling. And love is for the Hulu one. Definitely.
Right.
Just kidding.
Ooh, no.
No, should we talk about... So which one you want to talk about first?
You know what? The world's so sad right now. So let's do the one we hate.
Oh, good. So just like last one we talked to you about, Hulu does the monthly horror movies on part of their Into the Dark series from Blumhouse. And they're really hit or miss. And last month was, I don't know, I wouldn't say...
It was a hit.
Middle of the ground. Eyes. Yeah, and it was middle of the ground, my. Well, this month was definitely a miss. It was called The Current Occupant. And just to give you a quick background, it's about a guy who...
is Barry Watson from the wonderful show Seventh Heaven. And I have a personal story about me and Barry.
Really?
I'd like to share. Yeah, when I first moved here, I was his stand-in on this wonderful movie called Sorority Boys.
Shut up.
Yeah,
I feel like you've told me that, but I'm still excited.
Yeah, it was only 3 days, and I thought I was like, it was really cool. And I got to watch him do all the scenes, and then when he came onto set, I just said, stand here. And he's like, okay. It's like, that's it. That was my whole job.
You wouldn't be able to see you.
Oh, but no, I'm in. Oh, in addition to being his stand-in, I was also in it. And when I say in it, I was an extra. It was called KOK Frat. It was like
Cock Frat.
Cock Frat.
Your favorite.
And like then the director came up to me and said, hey, would you mind if I write the word KOK on your chest?
So and you're like, please.
Yes. I was like, what? You mean for like.
For dates?
Not in his trailer.
You're like, can you take a picture of me for Grindr?
Yeah. No. I'm not on Grindr.
I know. You always say that. Tell me about Science of the Lambs, though.
Oh, let me tell you. I finally saw Science of the Lambs.
That's an inside joke. Sorry. For everybody that doesn't know.
I'm in the movie Sorority Boys.
What? Wait. Wasn't Barry Watson also in Boogeyman?
That movie's terrible.
I can't even remember it enough to remember.
I'll tell you how I remember this movie. It came out the weekend of the Super Bowl in like 2004, and everyone went to go see. Actually, Boogeyman did pretty well, and there's actually
there's a sequel,
too.
Right?
I
Boogeyman remember. 2 Electric Buckaloo?
Yeah, Electric Butt.
Hello, Boogeyman. I'm trying to get the two.
I know where you're going. Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2.
Yeah, but I couldn't rhyme with Boogeyman.
I don't think I liked Boogeyman with Barry Watson.
Well, anyway, steering it back off that tangent. Yeah. So the Hulu movie of this month was called The Current Occupant, and it's about a guy, Barry Watson, who wakes up in a psychiatric ward and comes to believe that he's the current president of the United States and being kept there for some sort of training exercise, but he doesn't know if he's being tortured or trained or lied to or he just has amnesia or what. And I don't know, you start.
No, that you're exactly right. It was scene after scene of him questioning where he is and people not really cluing him in. There was something missing from the movie. Like, the people weren't that mean to him.
Well, you know how there's movies where like you're guessing throughout, like, is this in the person's mind or is this reality? And then usually it gets wrapped up and there's at least some sort of conclusion. Like this one, there was nothing satisfying about the way it wrapped up. I mean, and since we spoil everything,
yeah,
like they run through the whole thing and they keep flip-flopping that, and you think maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but not in a good way. It was more in a, oh my God, just tell us already way. Do you agree with that?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Sometimes when movies jump back and forth and like keep making you think one thing, then another thing, it can be fun and interesting, but this one, like toward, like it just was like, I wanted it to be over.
Someone came in with a vacuum and literally sucked the fun out of the movie. I don't think it was not.
I don't think any part of it was fun. That's the thing. Like there was no fun in it.
None. And it was like, it looked like Matt and I have made a short film. It looked like a short film that just would not end.
Yeah, it could have been a short film scene. Like, so here's the thing. I will say that the ending scene where he finally thinks that if he can escape this psychiatric ward, who in his mind he thinks is like stories below the White House, he thinks if he can just get to the elevator and up back to the White House, they'll all see that he's the president and was being kept down here and welcome him back. So at the very end, he does escape to the elevator and he gets to the floor and he opens and it looks like the White House and it looks like everyone's welcoming him back and they're like, you made it through your training. And I'm just like, training? Like it's more like torture. And then as he's saying thank you and saying he's glad to be back, it like pops out of his mind and that was all a delusion and he's back in the psychiatric ward. So it's like they keep fooling you just for the sake of fooling you, all to take you back to the same beginning that he's just crazy. So like it just felt like a waste.
Yeah, I felt like right when he gets back into the elevator, No, I'm sorry. Yeah, and the elevator door opens and like it's that guard that was pretty mean to him, made him lick his shoe. Disgusting. It added up to nothing.
It did. It all added up to nothing. I think we had talked about, like, if it ended with the scene where he actually was the president and was welcomed back to the White House, at least it'd be like, okay, cool. Like, then he wasn't crazy the whole time and there's something. But if this was all just to show that he was crazy, I don't need to watch an hour and a half of someone being tortured in a psychiatric ward and being crazy.
That's the thing. Like, nothing. There was, like, it didn't switch up. It was just him being tortured and is he crazy? Tortured, crazy.
I was like,
I got so bored. I grabbed my phone and I realized that Barry Watson's been married 3 times and he was married. His first wife was Natasha Gregson Wagner from Urban Legend.
Oh my God, yeah.
They were only married 1 year.
Oh.
And
then he cut her head off from the back seat.
Yes, with an axe. So that was a weird, they didn't even.
Weird,
I'm
weird
surprised
breakup.
Still do movies.
Weird no, breakup.
And he has 3 children. That's what I
from Natasha or no?
No, no. From he has 2 other wives, so I'm guessing it's from those 2.
That's so funny that you were that bored to do that. Like I was just frustrated. I mean, I was bored, but I was frustrated, and also I was waiting for it. I was like, okay, this is the movie for Hulu's July 4th. That's the holiday. So I wonder if they're going to make a political statement, like. Perfect time to make a political statement. You know, I'm sure that obviously they made the movie before COVID, but still. But then there was none. It was literally, he's just crazy. That's it.
But here's the thing. I thought there were a couple places where he looked like George Clooney.
Uh-huh. He's aged well,
he
I'll
did.
Say.
He was, and I learned that he's 46.
But the funny thing is that, and maybe I'm saying this now because we're, you know, getting closer up there, but I don't consider 46 old enough to even say, like,
well,
he's
I
aged
do
well.
Because I'm 23.
But. Exactly. 23 plus 20, Tim.
Well, actually, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I do fast math. But, like, he's 46. But again, I wouldn't say, like, I don't think people would look, people who knew you in your 20s, would they look at you and, well, I guess if they only saw you 20 years ago and then say he aged well. So I guess when I say someone aged well, I'm thinking they're much older. Like, when you see someone who is in their 20s in the 80s or something. Mm. He was in his 20s in the 2000s?
I yeah. guess,
maybe.
He was in Teaching Mrs. Tingle?
Oh, God, he was in that with Katie Holmes.
I read that that's his first film.
That's his first, his first film?
Like, feature debut.
So that was before, oh, yeah, it was before Boogeyman. Mm-hmm. Anyway, obviously, we're more interested in Barry Watson's career than the movie, because
how could we be interested in anything else besides Barry Watson's career? Because it was just so boring.
It really was, and I think I may have said this in the last one, but these movies, there have been a few that have been good. I don't even know how many we've watched back when we could watch together, like what we watched. But I know there have been maybe 2 or 3 that I've liked. There's been a bunch that I've not liked. This definitely ranks down there with the worst.
And I wanted to like it. I like Barry Watson. I don't know any other actor in the movie, so I'm going to have to give it a big, fat thumbs down.
Yeah. I would give it 2 thumbs down, 2 toes down, and a nose down.
Good job.
I'm going to thumb my nose at it. No, I would just say, if you're into the Into the Dark one, unless you've loved every single one, because there have been a lot of shitty ones, maybe this is more your taste. But if you're like us and you've seen them, and some of them been good, some of them not, I guarantee you you're
you
not going to like this one.
You know what the movie reminded me of? Okay, obviously, remember when in Terminator 2, when Linda Hamilton was stuck in that mental hospital?
Yeah.
Okay, well, take out Linda Hamilton.
And take out anything interesting.
Anything interesting, and just have it be that hospital, and don't care about anyone in it.
Sold.
Let's make that
watch
movie.
Watch it. No, but really, it's funny because I remember last time you were like, Relic, it's a movie you never want to watch again. But it didn't mean it's because it was so bad. This is a movie you never want to watch again because it was so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of us for giving it a chance. Like, I feel like I watched something that hopefully no one else does.
Well, the thing is that as much as these Into the Dark movies have been hit or miss, since there's not a lot going on with movies right now, like, and these are still coming out, churning out once a month, I mean, I'm going to give them a chance, but every month I go in thinking, like, they're either, I don't know what they're trying to do, I just wish they would do, like, do a slasher movie ever, but no, it's like they're trying to be so over-creative that they're making them too weird. Like, I told you, like you said about the weird one that you hated with the
St. Patrick's Day?
The St. Patrick's Day one, which was awful. Like, they're trying to be so, like, off the beaten path. I cannot imagine that Jason Blum sees these and is like, I'm good with these. I feel like his name is just on it, and then he's like, do whatever you want. You know?
Like, I mean, like, he can't be watching it being like, man,
this is great.
Because if he watched what we just watched.
No. But I think we should quickly transition into.
We are going to flip it over to something really, a movie I think it's safe to say we both liked.
Oh, I mean, I think it's safe to say we both loved.
The movie we watch is on Amazon Prime. I think it was $5.99.
Yeah, and I think it's on Amazon Prime. You can rent it. You have to rent it. It's not on any streaming service. I love that we're saying all this before we say what it is. But it's not free anywhere. Amazon Prime, Google Movies, iTunes, and it's called...
The Rental. Ironic.
I know, because you got to rent it.
But you can go see it at a drive-in.
Yes, which I think would be cool if you want to, you know, if you like drive-ins. But let's just start by saying, first off, I had read an article about this first. And when I heard it was Dave Franco's directorial debut, at first I'm like, oh no. Only because, not because I don't like Dave Franco, because I do, but he's like a comedy guy. And so when I was like, he made like a thriller, I was like, is this going to be one of those, it's like comedic thrillers? But let me just say, there's no comedy in this movie.
I loved it so much. It's The Rental. It's about two couples.
Yes, two couples. And one of the girls. So two men, two women.
Yeah. One of the girls. Well, apparently you told me when I mentioned it, you said, oh, Dan Stevens?
Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey, from The Gift, or The Guest?
The Guest.
The Gift was Jason Bateman. The Gift, The Guest. Yes, Dan Stevens was hot. I've always thought he was hot.
I didn't think he was hot in this, but I do think he's hot in The Guest.
Dan Stevens, a guy, I can't remember his name, but he was on Shameless. And Dave Franco's wife, Allison Brie.
I loved Allison
from...
Scream 4.
I mean, Allison Brie, you know, Sydney's assistant from Scream 4. Wow, fuck me, wow. Do you remember where that's from?
Of course.
Gail, you were my 90s.
I really enjoyed Alison Brie in this movie.
Well, we should say, to give you a quick plot summary.
So the two couples are looking online to get a house.
Like an Airbnb rental.
The rental. And they go and they bring a dog. They sneak a dog and it's a Frenchie. So I really connected with that material.
Amazing.
And they go and... they set it up like a standard, like anyone can relate to this. It could happen to anybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, like the first half of it, there's not a lot going on. It's just very unnerving. Like the person who rented it to them, you could tell is this like slightly odd racist guy who
Before you go on, I never gathered that he was racist.
Well, remember so what happens is one of the... one of the women has a Muslim sounding name, and she had tried to rent the building right before the white male guy did and was rejected. And then like 5 minutes later, he put his application in and it was accepted immediately. And I remember she calls him on and is like, hey, just out of curiosity, I put an application for this and was rejected immediately about 5 minutes before him. Why? And he wouldn't answer remember?
He said his brother takes care of that.
I guess that was a little, but there was something off. The way they build it is there's something off about the guy who he shows them the place, and then he has keys to the place, and they're a little freaked out that he can come and go as he pleases. So that's the only thing they're really setting up. And in the first half, it's like the two couples are just doing things people do when they're on vacation. Drugs, drinking.
I didn't like the drug aspect.
Oh, of course. Tim wore his Dare shirt. And and then like the biggest like thing that's bad that happens is that one of the guy cheats on his girlfriend with the other girl.
Actually, that's when the movie to me really kicked into high gear, because I was like, it became like a little soap opera, which I watched The Bold and Beautiful, so I really appreciated this soap storyline.
But this is all like contrary to the main storyline. Like that's like a total subplot, but it's just, so here's the thing. For anybody watching this, the first half, you just have to expect there's not a lot of horror thriller stuff in the first half, but it's still good because every little thing is unnerving. Like the house is big and empty. There's like, it's like, you know, it's stranded in the middle of nowhere. So they build it really well. The cinematography. Photography's great. And then it takes a major turn and gets really, really good.
Well, I think the most unnerving thing is when the girl finds the camera in the...
Yeah. And that's about probably halfway through.
In the shower.
Yeah, they find they notice there's cameras in the shower, and from that point it gets like from bad to worse. Remember,
they lose the dog.
Well, yeah, first they lose the dog, but then they immediately think, obviously, that the person who sold the Airbnb, the weird racist guy, put the cameras in. And he, when he comes by, the girl confronts him, and I forget, does she? She is trying. Does she sort of like? I forget, she has some, a little scuffle with him.
Wait, there's like...
And her boyfriend, like, beats him up.
Right, but he comes in when, I think he misinterprets
what's
going on.
Yeah, he thinks that, yes, that's the thing. I think that the girl is actually being the aggressor with him, and, like, being physical with him, and he's trying to push her away, but the boyfriend thinks the guy is attacking her, runs in, hits him, renders him unconscious. But it takes a major turn, because then, this whole time, you're like, okay, this is weird. They're going out of the other room and like, what did you do? What did you do? And then someone with a mask on, not the crazy racist guy.
But they don't show the mask at that point.
Oh, but just someone you don't see sneaks in, suffocates to death the guy, and then leaves so that the four people think the guy who beat him up actually killed him. So then it turns into, I Know What You Did Last Summer. They come back, he's dead, and they're like, oh my God, what are we going to do with this body? You accidentally killed him.
Right, and while all this is going on, they kind of do like a wife swap.
Well, it's like, well, Alison Brie...
has no clue what's going on and is on drugs.
Well, she's kind of like the Jennifer Love Hewitt of it. She, when she finds out that this scuffle turned into something that they think killed the Airbnb guy, she says, if you're not going to call the cops, I want nothing to do with this, and like locks herself in a room. The other three of them go and to dispose of the effing body. But remember, this is only, what I loved about this movie is this is all going on while the audience, us, we know that there's some stranger coming into the house that's like a threat to them, that is not the Airbnb guy. It's a separate person, and we haven't seen him yet. So they're going to dispose the body. Remember that scene?
Yeah, well, the killer, when they showed him kill the guy in the tub, you all you know he's wearing black pants, black jacket, and black gloves. So you haven't seen, he hasn't been revealed until they throw the Airbnb
guy over the cliff.
But which is a total spoiler alert, it doesn't go as planned. And then they
starts, well, the best part, you're forgetting what's sort of like a laugh in that, because they try to throw him over a cliff and he doesn't he lands on the side of the cliff, and they have to like travel halfway down the cliff to actually push his body at. So you're thinking that that's the main plot here, but again, there's someone that has been sneaking into their place, watching them, and that's probably the person who put the cameras up, meaning this Airbnb guy, although he was a little creepy and probably racist, like, didn't put those cameras up, and it's someone else that's doing it, but they're already knee-deep in. But then it gets even more complicated, because Alison Brie sees footage that her boyfriend cheated with the girl in
that
the house.
That was very clever. Well, rewind just a little bit. Like, when they think they got him over the cliff, they're walking towards the house, and the killer jumps behind all three of them for like 2 seconds. Do you remember that? They're like walking towards
the
house.
They don't see. Oh, them. You mean like the audience sees.
The audience
Yeah.
I think that was suspenseful.
Yeah, they're really good about like showing it. We were talking about this, how it seemed like it felt like a combination of I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Strangers.
Friday the 13th.
It had elements of everything.
Sliver,
yeah, because there's cameras in it. It definitely had elements of everything. But yeah, you're right. So they do that. But Alison Brie, so the killer, obviously, by this point, you know, is fucking with them. You know, he killed the Airbnb guy to make them think he killed him. Then he texts the footage of the boyfriend cheating with the other girl to Alison Brie, who just is like, fuck this, I'm leaving, and takes the car.
No, she saw it. She went upstairs and she saw it was playing on a television.
Oh, was it on the television? Okay, I can remember. So There's a lot going on. I'm trying to think of, I'm just thinking of people listening to this.
She kept hearing it was like a shower or something, but then she realized, oh no, it's a video playing. So she went up that spiral staircase.
Oh yes,
she saw the video of them, her boyfriend and
the other girl that's there
going at it, mm-hmm. and then she
leaves. That's when she thinks that the other guy and her boyfriend and the other girl just killed someone and got rid of a body. Number two, she sees that her boyfriend cheated. So she's just like, I've had it. So she takes the car and leaves. And then this is when like the suspense really happens, because she immediately gets a flat tire off something in the road. And
she walks and she sees that there's like a thing to pop the tires.
Yeah, someone had laid out spikes to pop the tires. And then she's trying to get on her phone to text her boyfriend, say like, I got a flat tire. And then suddenly the person, the mask, like runs at her window, which was terrifying.
That was such a good scare. But then they don't show you that.
What happens to her.
Right.
Yeah.
So then the aftermath is he clearly breaks the window, kills her.
Yeah, well, because the boyfriend does get the text that she's stranded with the flat tire. He goes out to find her. Finds her dead body, and then the killer beats and kills him. So it's like right away, two of them are dead. And remember, the first half of this movie, they're just doing drugs and having sex, and then suddenly, you know, these two are dead. So the two that are left are
the couple,
the other couple, the girl that had cheated and the guy that killed, thought he killed the
and
Airbnb.
That's when he gets the video on his phone.
Oh yeah, because he didn't know that his girlfriend.
And then
cheated.
He's like, "What is this? What is this?"
Yeah, so he finds out and he's pissed. But then remember, he gets killed by the killer, and so the last person left is the other girl, and that's when they have the traditional chase scene, because she, like, the guy in the mask comes at her and he chases her all through the forest, and you're thinking to yourself,
well,
okay,
she gets like, that's like when the movie kicks into high gear, because like, doesn't he put a hammer in her boyfriend's head?
Yeah.
And then she stabs him with, I want to say, a screwdriver.
Yeah, she did get one stab on him, so she's doing the typical final girl behavior. There's the chase, she does that, and then I don't know if you were like, it's just, you just have this feeling. I don't know. I had this feeling she wasn't going to make it. Did you? Like, she didn't seem like a traditional final.
I wanted her to, but then I thought, okay. And I'm not saying, like, if you cheat, you need to die. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying they all became...
She wasn't, like, redeemable.
Yeah, they all seemed pretty horrible. They were like, let's hide this body. Let's cheat
well,
on
no,
each
except
other.
Allison Brie. Like, that's why... So I had a feeling the last girl wasn't going to make it because... You know, usually the final girl is the good one, and Allison Brie was the only good one. She didn't cheat. She didn't beat someone to a pulp. She got killed first.
Yeah.
So anyway, but just to finish this up, the girl's running and running, and you think maybe she's going to make it, and then she runs and suddenly just runs off the cliff.
Well, because it was foggy.
It was dark and foggy, and she could barely see where she's going, and she literally just ran off the cliff. So, but the creepy, and sometimes it's creepier when no one makes it, but the way it's so creepy is, first off, like, the mask, really well done. It looks almost like
a bald, melted old face.
Guy.
It looked like a melted face.
Like it almost human, but not, so it's terrifying. It's like bald, almost human, but he comes back. He's taking off his mask, but the camera moves away, which I thought was smart, because you don't want to see, like, some normal Joe killer. Like, the mask is scarier. And then it switches to the ending. He's put these cameras in a bunch of different Airbnb rentals, like, all over, Sliver style.
Well, to back up just a little bit, the dog that was missing, the cute Frenchie, he, like, the dog runs in, so all dog lovers will be like, oh, I didn't kill the dog.
Oh, he didn't get killed, yeah.
But he pets the dog of Frenchie, and then...
Luckily, he didn't kill the dog. I don't know if he took the dog with him, though, but it just changes to, like, a Sliver-type screen of a bunch of different things. So, obviously, this is someone who does this a lot and is probably going to kill again, which I thought was good. I thought it was really... creative. Yes, it took elements from a bunch of different movies, but everything's been done before. So to have combinations is good.
I was on the edge of my seat just from the cheating aspect, because, like, it, I don't know. I just, that whole thing, like, I hate to see that kind of confrontation.
But they built it well, because it wasn't like he just randomly started cheating. Like, first there was the, like, hey, you know, Allison Brie's just like, you guys get along so well. And he's like, well, yeah, she's my coworker. Like, it built slowly. And then they're in the hot tub together. And then they're sitting next to each other. So it's like, as an audience member, you're like, no, don't do it. No, don't do it. No, you know?
That's what I mean. So they, in addition to, like, there's a killer in the house, there's also cheating in the house, drugs in the house.
Well, but it's also just everything is unnerving. Like you said, there's, like, little things that happen. They have good camera angles where you see the masked guy from far away, which is always my favorite Halloween style, like, but yeah, I do think, like I said, the only criticism I could see anybody coming up with is that I could see some people thinking the first half was too slow. I thought it was built it up well.
I enjoyed the slow build. I thought it got me to a place where I appreciated the outcome.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the best suspenseful movies I've seen in a while.
Me too. I would say next to The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Elizabeth Moss.
Today's her birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I would say this is the best movie I've seen.
It is. I mean, and I hate to say there's not a lot out, because I don't want to diminish this movie because of that, but it was. Like, I mean, kudos to Dave Franco. Like, He didn't just direct it. He helped write the screenplay.
Why wasn't he in it? I feel like he could have played any role.
Truthfully, and I think this is wise of him, I think it's because he knows he is so known for comedy that the second people see him, they'd be like, it's almost like, I know I bring up Halloween all the time, I'm sorry.
It's
but
fine.
Danny McBride, who helped write with Dave McGordon Green, he's an actor. He could have easily been in the new Halloween. And I think I read something where he said he knew that whatever part he played, it would take away from any suspense they built because everybody knows that he's just like Mr. Funny Man. And I think that's smart with Dave Franco because I think his wife was great in it, but I think it's better that he stayed director and writer.
And I will say, I mean, nothing to against Dave Franco, but I mean, like, he is well known, like you said, and Alison Brie is one of those actresses that I think could play comedy or drama.
Yeah.
So it's like she can get away with that. So I'm happy you put his wife in.
I mean, here's the thing. I know Dave Franco did. He had a big role in The Disaster Artist, yeah, which wasn't really a comedy, but it sort of was because making fun of that guy with The Room. So maybe Dave Franco could do the acting. He probably could. But again, the second I see Dave Franco partying with people, the first half, I'm thinking of like Neighbors, the movie, and like I'm thinking of a comedy. It would bring me out of it. Like I thought all the actors were great. But it just was, I would say like the direction was the best. It was just framed well, it was done well, and it was just a really creepy, good movie.
I agree. I give it 10 out of 10. I'm happy that him, Dave Franco, and I think there were two other writers.
Yeah, he did it with like one or two others, but
we can't give him all the credit.
It's true. It's true. But I mean, since he directed it, there are going to be I'm glad that for his first directorial, you know, like a lot of people would be like, because, you know, he has money, so he probably could have made any type of movie he wanted. He didn't pick a comedy, even though he does like the Funny or Die videos I've seen.
I'd be curious how much this movie cost. I can't
imagine that much. Like, they needed the house, obviously, but other than that, like, was there that much? It wasn't even like
Dan Stevens' paycheck.
Yeah, that's the thing. But here's the thing. The reason I also think they got good, reputable cast members is because Dave Franco and Alison Brie are a couple. They're both actors. I'm sure they know other actors. And you know they're like, hey, Dave wants to make a money. Dave wants to make a movie. Like, they know people. These are actors that decided they wanted to be directors, so they know other actors. So I'm not surprised they got, like, good actors. But, I mean, that made it feel more like solid and real also, because when you have good actors in it, immediately, you know, like when you're searching for a movie and you see a movie that has like one known actor, immediately you're like, okay, this has got to be at least okay, because why would they sign on for it, right? Right,
unless they
needed a paycheck, right. I know. But yeah, I loved it. I would highly, highly recommend.
Me too. So what we're saying is the current occupant, you can skip.
Definitely.
The rental.
Rent it. Well, I mean, it's for anybody, first, I don't think anybody thinks $5.99 is too much. I mean, I know people would think $19.99, like they were doing the new releases.
I mean, sometimes I prefer free. Oh, cool. By the way, side note, I think we're good on the rental, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw the best movie last night, and this is not even a horror film. Okay, I saw a Reese Witherspoon movie.
Sweet Home Alabama.
No.
Legally Blonde.
No, I love those movies. And this is not a horror movie, but I do want to recommend it because I cried at the end.
Fear.
With Mark Wahlberg. No, it was called Home Again. Have you seen it?
That's not with Jamie Lee Curtis and
Reese Witherspoon and Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, what was that movie where they... There's a...
With Kristen Bell's in a
yes,
movie.
Yes, yeah.
I did see that movie.
Okay, and, isn't it called Home Again?
I don't know.
Home Again. Okay.
Yeah, Home Again. I recommend it. I cried twice, and I had no expectations. And I watched it with commercials on Bravo.
What's it?
Yeah.
What's it about?
Okay, you know those movies like Something's Gotta Give?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of like in Nancy Meyers kind of universe, but it's directed by a 32-year-old girl. I looked up everything about her during the movie, and it's called Home Again. And I don't know why I'm talking about this. But it's so good. Reese Witherspoon's just like this. She's a 40-year-old mom, and she has these three hot guys move into her guest house, and she has sex with one of them. And she's got like two kids, and like her husband comes back and like gets into a fist fight with one of them. But it's like, it's one of those movies. It's like a feel good movie.
Home Again.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Sweet Home Alabama. But
of course.
Yeah.
This movie, I trust me, I never would have watched it in a million years, but I totally loved it.
Well, good. So, well, I mean, yeah. Definitely a movie for happy horror time. Just kidding.
No, that's the happy and happy horror time. It's called Home Again.
That's a... I feel like I've heard of it.
I'm sure you saw the trailer and rolled your eyes, because I know I did.
Oh, but when it's on Bravo with commercials.
Watch it with commercials. All right, Matt, it's been so much fun virtually talking to you.
Yeah, I like these quick, fun virtual episodes. Like, it's any different for when people are listening.
People are listening in their cars.
Well, now that we have two new episodes,
let us know what you want us to watch, because I'll watch Home Again.
If people that are listening want to comment with recommendations of horror movies that either just came out that maybe not a lot of people have heard of, or just old unknown horror movies or anything, like, it'd be fun, or anything, because Tim and I have probably heard of most.
Is there any old horror movies that you have watched lately that you want to talk about? Or like, I saw Deadly Blessing by Wes Craven. I loved it. Sharon Stone. I recommend everyone to see Wes Craven's Deadly Blessings.
Speaking of old Wes Craven, old horror. Well, not old, but we just Jacob and I watched again just the other night the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. And I know, here's the thing. I know the majority of horror movie remakes are not good and are not worth it and should have never happened. This is one I did think was really good. And I was like, am I going to still... And I hadn't seen it for a long time. I'm like, am I going to still like it watching it today? And I did.
It's a great movie.
I not only do I like it, because the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I know it's a classic, I know. But I find the last, third of it, very torturous. It's just like they're just torturing her and torturing her, and she does make it out, but there's not any sort of fighting back. And in this one, they make Jessica Biel, they kind of change it into she really does fight back. It's a lot more you feel a little better at the end. You don't just feel oh my God, so disturbed, you know? It's disturbing, but you feel better. There's someone to root for.
The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, everyone loves it and praises it and calls it a classic. I always feel like I need a shower after it.
It's disturbing. I enjoy it, but it is disturbing. And this one, of course, it's disturbing, but at least there's a little bit of hope at the end with her. They've made it a little more positive. I know that Sally gets out at the end of the original, but barely, and she's been tortured for so long that you're you can't even take it anymore. In this one, it's just in the remake, I thought it was better. I know.
No, I have the soundtrack. Oh, and really? I own the DVD. Yeah, I love in 2003 when that came out, that was when they just started remaking everything.
Yeah, it was one of the first remakes.
Yeah, it was
right?
One of the first. So I think it's one of the first, and it's done really, really well. Now, the sequels, on the other hand.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. They are trying to milk that franchise, which I understand, because I'm a fan of, if you love the franchise, yeah, milk it. But it's between prequels and then, sequels that aren't real sequels to, backstories of Leatherface is just it's just getting desperate.
They're so desperate. But they always have a hot cast,
Jordana Brewster. Well,
and then there was the 3D one, and I'll never remember her name. But she has really pretty eyes.
She has the beautiful eyes, yeah. But that one, the reason I didn't love that one is because they make you sort of sympathetic to Leatherface, you know, which I'm you can't do that. It's like Rob Zombie's Halloween movies giving Michael Myers a backstory. You don't want to feel sympathetic for the killer, because in that one, remember, she ended up being related to him,
and
so she helps him.
They wear a human face.
What?
They wear a human face.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't want to be sympathetic to the killer. That's why that one was so weird, because I remember kind of liking it. Then I was like, but now you're rooting for her and him together? It was just so, that was so weird. But again, they ran out of ideas. So
yeah. I mean, they honestly should just make.
Keep remaking.
Remake the same one, but just put a longer gap in between.
A longer gap and have more male frontal nudity.
Yes,
nudity.
It seems to be lacking in today's cinema.
Yeah, it really is. Mm. Anyway, well, we'll have to do this again and watch more on-demand movies, too.
Yes, and so everyone, stay safe.
Stay indoors, please, or wear a mask,
stay
please.
Healthy. What else?
That's
anything
it.
Else? Any words of wisdom?
just please be responsible. We'll get through this, but everybody needs to be responsible. Like, yeah.
I'm going to a crowded bar right now, so I'll talk to you later.
Maskless.
Okay? Maskless. No, of course.
Yeah.
All right.
No. Okay.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.